suspects that it was his friends behind him. However, it sounded as if it were coming from the water beneath the bridge. The laughter is so disturbing because it reminds him of his failure to save the woman who drowned many years ago. Even worse, he is reminded of this failure the very same moment he was congratulating himself for being such an upstanding person. He is broken. This was very haunting to him, and it was a pivotal epiphany that deeply changed him for the rest of his life. There came what Clemence called a period of discovery, in which a deluge of memories that he had either repressed or had forgotten returned to him in a single instant. All of these memories served to reveal his duplicity. That evening, there was a massive collision between self-inflated image and his true self. Every aspect of his life, he suddenly realized, was a lie. Everything that he was doing, thinking, and saying, it was all a facade and a form of deceiving others and even himself. When he helped the blind or defended a widow in court, it was never for the sake of the other person. All of his good actions were motivated to make himself feel good. Whenever he pretended to be humble, it was for the purpose of increasing his own sense of pride, self-worth, and ego. In that moment, Clemence realized that he was an utter hypocrite. One more incident follows that is part of Clemence's fall from grace. A day comes when he is waiting at a stoplight. He realizes that a motorcycle ahead of him has stalled, and he is now stuck behind it. He will not be able to drive forward and be on his way once the light turns green. The cars behind Clemence are blaring their horns. Clemence asks the man kindly as he can move his motorcycle from the road. However, when Clemence asks, the motorcyclist only grows angrier and threatens physical violence against him, so Clemence exits his car and approaches the man. But someone else stops him and accuses him of taking advantage of the motorcyclist, who is at a disadvantage. The cyclist punches Clemence and speeds off. Clemence does not retaliate, but as he is driving later, he stews in resentment, realizing he should have retaliated. He concludes that he has spent his entire life looking for moral superiority over others. After this, Clemence began to realize that if he could see his own sins and his own hypocrisy, everyone else around him might be able to see it as well. From then on, he lived in a perpetual state of fearing others condemning him. He attempted to cope with this judgment, but he can find no solution. For example, when he led a blind man across the street, he tipped his hat. But since the man obviously can't see, he realizes that he was showing off his good deed to everyone else around him. The laughter he heard at the bridge echoes and eventually fills his whole existence. He grows increasingly unstable, until he even begins to laugh at himself while he is in court defending justice. Clemence attempts to create a solution by ruining his own reputation in order to cleanse himself of his hypocrisy. He speaks horrific things about beggars, supporting serfdom, and writing a manifesto exposing the oppression the oppressed inflict on decent people. Quote, "I recognized how much a part of my soul loathed them. I planned to puncture the tires of wheelchairs, to go and shout, 'Lousy proletarian,' under the scaffolding on which laborers were working, to smack infants in the subway. The very word justice gave me strange fits of rage." End quote. But these efforts don't work. No one takes him seriously, it seems, but because of his reputation, believe he is merely joking. The laughter continues to wear him down. Eventually, he realizes that deriding himself will only fail, so he decides to remove himself from the world. He quits his law practice, shuns all of his old colleagues, and eventually all people, and lives out a life of reckless hedonism. This is how he eventually wound up in Amsterdam, where he now practices being a judge penitent. The Second World War is being fought, and France has been taken over. After considering joining the resistance against the Germans, Clemence decides it would be useless. There he encounters a friend, so he chooses to stay and look for work in Tunis. When the Allies invade North Africa, the Germans capture him and put him in a concentration camp. During his imprisonment, he comes across another friend who only goes by Duguslein. This character fought in the Spanish Civil War, but was also arrested by the Germans when he was in Africa. He has lost his faith in Catholicism, because the military leader who captured him was Catholic. Guislain declares that there must be a new pope,